Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday morning, boys and girls. I got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, we come to you live because that's all that really matters. From the Rocket Mortgage Studios, Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions of dollars during Super Bowl 55 with a Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Coming up in 15 minutes, Ross Tucker is going to join us. We'll talk to him about all four games that happened over divisional round weekend. You can hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Last night, three interceptions and four total turnovers doomed the Saints, and Tom Brady's going to championship game number 14. Here's how it sounded.
Second down and goal from the one. Quarterback sneak. Tom Brady, did he get in?
Yes.
He's very close. Is it a touchdown, Mr. Ref? Is it a touchdown, Mr. Referee?
Yes.
Sean Hockley, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
I knew that, you know, for us going this week, we had to play a great game. And our defense stepped up, played huge. Like I said, the offensive line was incredible. You know, it's just a hard-fought game, very physical game. We'll need to get our rest the next couple of days and then be ready to go for practice on Wednesday.
Gene Deckerhoff, voice of the Buccaneers. We win on the Buccaneers radio. Tom Brady after the victory. First two outings earlier this season, the Saints really shut down Brady's offense. So what made the difference last night? How did the Bucs finally figure out a way to beat the Saints? Because you hear all the time, well, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. Yeah, but it's happened. Teams have swept in the regular season and then also beat them in the postseason as well. So it has happened. What was different here? Well, I think the first part was, remember, their first meeting was week one of the season. And clearly Brady, new team, new offense, new teammates, no offseason, no preseason, no workouts, even though they were, I guess, going through their non-NFL regulated workouts in the Florida parks, was prone to be a little staggered, a little inconsistent, and not look so great. And so a very good Saints defense was able to shut down Brady before Brady's Bucs offense really rounded into form. That was the first part. And in fact, when the Bucs took the lead last night, it was their first lead in these two games over the Saints since 7-0 first quarter in week one. Saints just kind of were able to squeeze them after that in their first meeting. Their second meeting, remember, that game got out of hand really quickly. 7-0, 14-0, 21-0, 28-0, 31-0. Look, by 28-0, the game was over in the first half. So at that point in time, again, the Saints defense able to get some turnovers, create some short fields, and the Saints offense just hit a couple of big plays, and that was all she wrote. And so the Bucs were out of that one really early. The difference was last night. The Bucs offense, far more effective now than it was back in week one. Brady clearly has more of a comfort level, and they added Antonio Brown. More of a comfort level with all of the pieces that were there running the offense. Also, the Bucs kept it close. It wasn't a blowout, because if this had turned into even a 14-point lead, I don't think the Bucs are coming back. They're not really built for those types, in my estimation. Bruce Arians would love to think that. Arians wants him to be quick strike, big play offense. But really, we saw last night the Bucs were at their best when they were the run of the football. They're down by 14 or 17 points. The game's probably over. So that was it. They kept it close. And then the third most important part was the Saints gave them that game in the form of turnovers. That is what happened last night that changed what happened in terms of the outcome of the first two games. Each one of Drew Brees' interceptions, each one of those turnovers was more backbreaking, more crushing than the last. Brees short-arming the pass to Michael Thomas, intercepted, set up the Bucs with a really short field. The fumble by Jared Cook, that is a touchdown deficit the Bucs are staring at. And Cook has a first down. It's going to be first and 10 across midfield for the Saints. The Saints have just ripped up a couple of good plays, collected a couple of first downs. If it's a field goal attempt for them, it's a 10-point lead in the second half. If it's a touchdown, it's a 2-touchdown spread there. And I don't think the Bucs are coming back. That fumble is an absolutely crushing fumble for the Saints. And you can see it energized the Bucs. Short field. Bucs went in for the end zone to the touchdown. And Cook is on the sideline knowing just how brutal that moment is. His head is in the towel and he just has the pain in his face, hoping beyond hope that they don't capitalize on that turnover. And they did. It's a crushing blow. An absolutely crushing blow. 20-13 and going in for another score becomes 20-20. And then the two fourth quarter interceptions. Again, each one worse than the last. Because that little pass to Alvin Kamara, picked off by Devin White, and that is a 3-point game there. The Bucs led 23-20. And on 2nd and 8 from the Saints' 38-yard line, Brees tries to fit it in on a bad decision. Short arms it again. And Devin White, who was great all game long, picks it off, rumbles back to the 28-yard line. And once that happened, the game was over. The Bucs had a 3-point lead and then had 1st and 10 from the 28. Punched it in for a touchdown, 10-point deficit. Not coming back from that. Saints were not coming back from that, considering just how difficult it was to stretch the field. They needed Jameis Winston on the trick play to do that. Each one of the turnovers was more crushing than the last. And credit to the Buccaneers for creating the turnovers and taking advantage, and the Bucs defense and Devin White was phenomenal. But if Drew Brees makes 3 better decisions, really 2, by the 3rd one he's down 10 points, he's just kind of chucking it. If Drew Brees makes 2 better decisions and Jared Cook just holds on to the football after the first down and falls down with 2 arms around the ball, it's a completely different game. The Saints probably win that football game. So it comes down to those 3 moments, and 2 of them are made by one of the great quarterbacks of our era, Drew Brees. It's just a devastating way to go out. And so the Buccaneers were a little bit better. Brady was a little bit more familiar with his parts. They could run the football a little bit better. They kept it close. And credit the Buccaneers for doing all those things. But at the end of the day, the difference between the Saints losing yesterday and winning the first 2 games was 3 decisions. Brees' 2 bad decisions on short-armed interceptions and Jared Cook deciding not to cover up the football after that first down. And that's it. That's the difference of going home in the playoffs. That is what makes the NFL postseason so dramatic and so wonderful, is that it all comes down to those three moments. Sometimes one moment. Sometimes one moment decides and defines your season and your legacy. I mean, Drew Brees is now going to retire. And that was a really difficult way to watch him go out, throwing three interceptions and the Saints blowing another home field advantage in the playoffs. Four straight years, three of them at home, losing at the Superdome in January. And it's just hard. It's hard to watch Brees, who's done everything right, basically, go out like that. But that's the difference. He made two really poor decisions last night, and it cost him dearly. When we come back, we'll talk to Ross Tucker about that, about the Chiefs and the Browns, about the Bills' chances in Kansas City, about Andy Reid's play calling, and about Aaron Rodgers' brilliance. Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings Mothership.
Oh, okay.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
15 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM channel 206, and stream us using your phone by taking us with you with the CBS Sports app and the radio.com app. Joining us is NFL analyst, former offensive lineman of the league, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, our friend Ross Tucker. Ross, good morning. How we doing?
DA, I'm doing awesome, man. Love this time of year. Love talking with you. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's start with last night and Drew Brees throwing three interceptions in what is probably going to be his final game ever. How did you feel watching Drew Brees retire like that?
Yeah, that hurt, man. That hurt. I felt that one pretty deep on a couple different levels, right? So, number one, Drew and I are the same age, and we came in the same year, 2001. Which, by the way, can we just say for a second, I played 7 years. I'm darn proud of that, DA. 2007 was my last year. That's 14 years ago, bro, and he's still
incredible.
Playing.
And like, if Brady wasn't doing what Brady's doing, the longevity of Drew Brees would be held up as mystifying that he's doing it for so long. It pales to Brady, but you're right. It's historically incredible that Brees has been able to do this for this long.
Well, and what's funny about what you just said, okay, because I've been thinking about this, Brady is ruining everything for everybody other than him. Yeah. I mean, like, every stat, everything that, every longevity, every, like I was thinking about this, you know, they're talking about if Aaron Rodgers could get to a second Super Bowl. Like, Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's just, everything about it is bananas. So anyway, so I was very, I was disappointed that that's how it ended for Drew. And watching him sit on the sideline, and then, you know, you see the pictures of him with his kids on the field after the game. I'm so appreciative of the great career he had. But, man, it might have also been the couple beers I had last night, DA. But I think everyone listening right now that ever played a snap of football in their life can relate to that feeling of knowing that you're never going to put the helmet and shoulder pads on again. And, I mean, even just telling you this now, like 9:15 on a Monday morning, like my eyes fill up because it's not tennis, it's not golf, it's not even basketball. Like, you can never do it again, man. Like, it's over. I miss it every day. Like, I miss it every day of my life. It's the most fun I ever had. And so, yeah, last night things got real for me when I was watching Brees on the bench when I knew the game was over and he was done.
I know. And it would be different if, let's say, Drew Brees threw for 3 touchdowns last night and they lost at Lambeau in a game where they weren't favored. If they lost in a Super Bowl and Drew Brees had played really well. But for him to play like that when they were favored at home against a team that they had beaten twice pretty easily earlier in the season just felt like, man, this is the way he's going to go out. And then it speaks to the Saints thing, which is the last 4 years they've lost in excruciating ways in the playoffs, and 3 of them have been at home. How much of that is a Saints thing beyond just a Drew Brees thing?
Hard to separate the two because Drew's been the quarterback for those games. That's number one. And number two, as much as it stinks that Drew had that game yesterday and had those interceptions, the first one was the worst one. You know, the flip side is, I just don't think, like, unless he was going to win the Super Bowl, right? I just don't think it ultimately matters that much. Like, if he's going to win the Super Bowl and then he wins two Super Bowls and he rides off into the sunset, that's a totally different deal. But other than that, I don't know that, as bad as it was yesterday, I don't know that that's going to be the lasting memory or that, they got to the divisional round, they lost to Brady. It's not like, there would have been no difference to me if they lost next week to Green Bay, 27-20, and, Aaron Rodgers had a big game.
I guess I would have liked to see him at least have a moment, especially in front of the home fans, to at least feel good about this postseason. But that's a tough out for the Saints yet again. Ross Tucker joins us here on CBS Sports Radio and the DA Show, and so they will take on Aaron Rodgers of the Packers. And what Rodgers did on Saturday was just continue his brilliance. What is your theory on why Aaron Rodgers has been so great this season?
Well, there's a couple different factors, right? Number one, year two of Matt LaFleur's system. That always helps, and any quarterback would tell you that. So that's a factor. Number two, I think no matter what he says, that the organization drafting Jordan Love maybe took him to even another level in terms of preparation, focus, all those things. And it's interesting, talking with Greg Cosell, like I do every Thursday on the Ross Tucker podcast, the NFL matchup guru, he said the thing that jumps out to him about Aaron Rodgers this year is how much stuff he's doing within the structure of the offense. You know, the last year of McCarthy, and even last year, he really he developed this habit of not throwing it to the guy initially in the down, like not throwing it to the open guy that the play was designed to go to, instead trying to kind of scramble around and have a big play, a big second reaction play. Well, this year, if you notice, it's been much more from the pocket within the context of the play, as opposed to like a scramble and then a wild play. It was almost like, remember like that Cowboys throw he had? It was almost like he was starting to get known for that, known for those plays. So he started to do it more often. Whereas I think this year he's just been much more in the structure of the offense.
That makes a lot of sense. He's just moving that football so efficiently, so effectively. And that Packers team is right now clicking on all cylinders, and of course they'll have the Bucs coming into town. Do you think the Bucs provide a tougher matchup than the Saints would have in the NFC title game for Rodgers?
Yeah, I do. And I say that because Tom Brady's a big factor. But also I just think the Bucs have a little bit more talent than the Saints do. They've got a lot of different weapons on the outside. They got a couple running backs that are doing a nice job right now with Fournette as well as Ronald Jones. And when they get Devin White back on that defense, I mean, he is a difference-making player coming back off the COVID list. I think it's going to be an awesome game. I think it's kind of a toss-up game. I know the way Green Bay has been playing, but I've seen this story too many times. On both sides, Brady and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in these situations. So I think it's a true toss-up game. In fact, I think both games are going to be highly competitive, which is really all I want. It's kind of weird to have a divisional round, only one game. It was even a one-score game at the end.
Yeah. So in the AFC side of things, obviously we have the Chiefs and we have the Bills, and let's start with that Chiefs and Browns game yesterday. What do you think about the touchback rule that hurt the Browns with the Higgins fumble?
So not a fan of it, never have been. I don't think many people are, but it's also the rule. Like, that's the rule. So you cannot do what Rashard Higgins did. If you listen to Kevin Stefanski after the game, he said, we tell those guys not to do that unless it's fourth down. Not to reach that ball out like that. And that ended up being the difference in the game. I mean, that was the critical play of the game. Now, the thing, so that is the rule, though, right, DA? So, number one, we can have a debate this offseason about whether they should change it, but that is the rule as it's currently written now. What very much frustrates me is that we still don't have a mechanism whereby you can challenge the fact that Sorensen put his helmet, you know, clearly led with the helmet. I just don't understand it. And I understand what they say about unintended if the coach only has two challenges, okay, and you can let that be a situation where he said, now I know it's under 2 minutes, blah, 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 but you can say let that be a challenge, then he got to decide whether or not it's worth it to use it. It's not like it's going to extend the game all that much if they still only have two challenges. They got to be very, very – if anything, it makes these coaches have to really decide whether or not it's worth using it. But I think that's one that – Stefanski would have, and they would have been right. They would have won it, and it could have made the game even more competitive.
What was your reaction when you saw Andy Reid go for it with Chad Henne on 4th-and-1?
Surprised. Yeah, I was surprised. And I know Andy Reid's got big ones, but still. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, DA, but Chad Henne's from my hometown.
I saw you tweet that.
Kind of funny, too, because I like when I was in college, and I think maybe my first year, I used to work out with his dad. And his dad would say to me, yeah, my son, Ross, is a pretty good player. And, you know, when you're a Division I college football player in the NFL, like, you hear that so often from dads. I was like, yeah, I'm sure he's great, Mr. Henne. I'm sure he turned out he was pretty good. He said he started as a true freshman at Michigan and then for 4 years. And so I was thrilled for him, man. I mean, I was, especially after that bad pick, for him, it's 3rd-and-14. He's not fast. You know, 3rd-and-14 for him to almost get the first down. And I did not think they were going to run that play. I thought maybe quarterback sneak, maybe try to get him to jump off sides. Because the thing is the Browns needed a touchdown. It wasn't like the Browns needed a field goal. They needed a touchdown. I know everybody's praising Andy Reid today, but if that's a bad throw from Henne or Tyreek Hill drops it or any number of things, he would be getting crucified. I think rightfully so, to be honest with you.
The Browns would have took over in Chiefs territory with over a minute to play and would have had some major momentum there. Final question on the Bills. Do you think, after what you saw with the Bills on Saturday, that they could beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead if Patrick Mahomes plays?
I think they can. I don't know if I think they will. I think they absolutely can. I was highly impressed by the way their defense played against the Ravens. I mean, that they played so much better than they did the week before against Phillip Rivers and the Colts. So I think the combo of Josh Allen and that defense, they absolutely can beat the Chiefs. I don't know if they will. It'll be a heck of a game, I think. I'm hopeful that it's a close competitive game. But I absolutely think that they will. I mean, I think that they can. I don't know if they will.
We are less than a month away now from Valentine's Day, and I feel like you got a good idea for Valentine's Day. How about My Front Page Story?
Well, it's a buddy of mine's company, D.I. I think I told you about it before, maybe at the Super Bowl. Literally,
so.
You talk to one of their writers, professional writers, for like 10 minutes while you're driving to work or whatever, going to work out. You tell them all about your significant other, how much you love them, why they're so great. They write the most unbelievable story. Like, it looks like it's on the cover of the New York Times. It's framed. It's a picture of you and her or whatever. I'm sure I'm talking to mostly guys here. And then the key is, here's the two keys, DA. When you give it to her and it's framed and you say, hey, babe, I want to do something special for you this year. Uh-huh. So I had a story written about you. That just sounds awesome. Uh-huh. Like, that's the coolest thing you can say to somebody when you're giving them a gift. I had a story written. Who gets a story written about somebody? And then when she actually reads it and there's a quote about, I don't tell her enough, off enough, how much I appreciate everything she does for our family and with the kids, she will cry. I told my buddy, I said, look, the motto for your company should be, she'll cry, you'll win. MyFrontPageStory.com. Trust me, fellas. I know most of you driving right now. Don't think about Valentine's Day until February. Do something. Go out of your way this year. It's been a rough year. MyFrontPageStory.com. Starts at $50. It'll be the best Valentine's Day gift she ever got, I promise.
I like it. MyFrontPageStory.com. Guaranteed tears for Valentine's Day. Ross Tucker, Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Ross Tucker also on Westwood One. Ross Tucker also on CBS Sports Network. Ross Tucker also on the DA Show. Ross, you're a busy man, and I appreciate it very much, man. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it, buddy. Ross Tucker joining us this morning here on the DA Show. Good stuff from him as always. And standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. I'm Mr. Bogues. We got hires around the NFL, two coaching hires.
We got that, and we got Drew Brees, who did play, miss, I should say, four games with injury this season. He certainly looked his age at times, and his season ended with another playoff heartbreaker yesterday, 30-20 at home to the Bucs. It featured a career playoff worst, three picks for Brees, but he's happy he came back and played this season.
I would never regret it. Never. No complaints, no regrets. Man, I've always tried to play this game with a great respect and a great reverence for it. And I mean, I appreciate all that this game has given.
Now Brees says he'll take some time to again make up his mind on retirement, but there were multiple hints last night that he might be done. Tom Brady clearly not headed for his 14th conference title game. He'll be the first QB ever to start one in three different decades. His offense turned four turnovers into 21 points yesterday. Brady threw for two scores.
Oh, my God. He's going to be in an NFC or AFC championship game in three different decades. Oh, my God.
The aughts, the 10s, and the 20s now?
Yeah, and the aughts was 2001. So we're talking about 20 years. He's been going to championship games. 01 to 21. My
when
God.
When did we settle on calling that decade the aughts, by the way?
Well, what would you call it?
The O's?
The O's? Or the 2000s? Some people call it the 2000s.
Well, the 2000s, I guess, is the century, right?
Well, yeah, that's... So the reason that it's called the aughts is because that's what they called, I believe, the 1900s. Like 1900 to 1909, they called the aughts. And then the teens, and then the 20s. So we just carried that over to the 2000s.
Now, let me ask you something. We get to 2040, right? And God willing, we should all be on the planet then. When we look back on the 20s.
I plan to be, yeah.
Yeah, I know. You plan to live until 100. We understand. We get to the 20s. We're going to be referencing this now, and we forget about like bootlegging and the roaring 20s of the 1900s, well, right? Like, is that what happens the next decade? And then the 20s are no longer the 20s as we know them?
It's an interesting concept you bring up. When you say in 1995, the 20s, we're thinking about the roaring 20s,
sure.
Flappers, bootlegging, etc. When we're in 2040 and we say the 20s, you'll have to say the 2020s, I guess, unless you have,
well,
this is the 20s, then the 1920s.
Yes. That what gets priority there. I think the new 20s become the 20s, and then you think of it the 1920s and you gasp. And people like me then wondered, did anything even exist back then, right?
60 years from now, will we be saying, yeah, it's crazy, it's like the 80s, but it's the 2080s and not the 1980s?
It blows your mind. It absolutely does. History is being rewritten in front of us with every year that turns.
That's been happening for look, millions of years.
Yeah, the aughts. Going back to the aughts.
History's being rewritten every day.
Things happen
says
every day.
The inventor of the calendar.
That's right. That's right.
So Bucks-Packers is your second game on Sunday. It's, of course, at Lambeau. The Chiefs and Bills are first. KC is the second team ever to host three consecutive conference title games. They needed Chad Henne to make that happen after Patrick Mahomes' third quarter concussion. Tight end Travis Kelce never lost confidence.
Nothing changed, man. Nothing changed. Chad came in and uplifted us. We uplifted him, and we just rallied together, man. And that's what this team did, offensively, defensively, special teams. We circled the wagon and got a little bit tighter as a group and found a way to win against
a
good football team.
They won 22-17 after leading 19-3.
Bogus, you have that flip, by the way. The AFC game is the late game next week.
Yeah.
Oh, do I really?
Yes.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for
and
that.
And I don't know how they decide these things. My guess is because CBS has the Super Bowl, that the late game knows who the Super Bowl matchup's going to be.
No. It rotates every year. Fox and CBS rotate the late window every year in this TV contract.
Okay.
So last year,
the NFC game was the late game.
Right. The 49ers-Packers last year was the late game. It just goes, it's a rotational basis for the network every year.
Quick post-Kelce soundbite mini poll. Do you think Travis Kelce could end up as the greatest tight end ever? Whew. So on first blush, I would say no. I don't consider him like a Mike Ditka, John Mackey, right. Rob Gronkowski, Ozzie Newsome. You know, I just, historically speaking, I don't ever think of him in those terms. But there's a case to be made that Tony Gonzalez, that statistically speaking, he will end up destroying Gonzalez and Antonio Gates' records and have multiple Super Bowl championships.
But I guess the question becomes the old, how do you explain error to error? Because right now you could make the case that the tight end has never been more of a bigger part of the passing offense in the NFL.
No doubt. No doubt. So it's the same thing with like Tony Gonzalez versus John Mackey. I mean,
right.
Gonzalez probably beat Mackey's records in the first five seasons.
It's skewed. If John Mackey played today, would he have the same kind of numbers as Travis Kelce?
So some people consider Tony Gonzalez the greatest tight end. He's certainly the greatest pass-catching tight end, receiving tight end ever. Could Travis Kelce be better than Tony Gonzalez?
Yes, he could.
Bogues?
I mean, especially playing for how many more years than Mahomes?
Bingo.
And yeah. The continuity of that system, I mean, that's the deal breaker there, right?
And Gonzalez never wins a Super Bowl. Gonzalez plays with a lot of different Chiefs quarterbacks, none of which are all that great besides Trent Green. Goes to Atlanta for a couple of seasons, but he doesn't have these big postseason numbers. Like Gronk really has helped out because he had huge games in huge spots. If Kelce plays in like five AFC championship games, wins two or three Super Bowls, and has the passing receiving record that Tony Gonzalez does, he's probably in the conversation of greatest ever, which is kind of crazy because I don't think many people would put him there right now.
Quick difference in lifestyles between me and Travis Kelce. The only time I met Travis Kelce, he came to the studios in New York. I asked to get a picture with him. Turns out I was about to crush a Big Mac and forgot to take the Big Mac out of sitting in front of me. So the one picture I have of Travis Kelce in my life, you just see me, Travis Kelce, and a Big Mac in a box sitting right in front of us. And you realize then why he's a Super Bowl champion and I'm a fat slob.
We had him on Radio Row as well, though.
So oh, okay. All right. Either way. But yes, me and a Big Mac and Travis Kelce are in one picture together.
So Kelce and the Chiefs, they survived yesterday again, 22-17 over the Browns. Both Mahomes and Andy Reid said postgame the QB was doing well. After one season as Rams defensive coordinator and just four total in the NFL, Brandon Staley is the Chargers' new head coach, and the Lions are expected to hire Saints assistant head coach Dan Campbell for their opening. The Sixers and Thunder did not play last night because Philly would not have had the required eight players, the Sixers going through contact tracing after playing the Grizzlies on Saturday. Memphis' Jonas Valanciunas is now in COVID protocol. Zion had 31 points and 6 boards in the Pels' 128-123 win in Sacramento last night. The Clippers ran over the Pacers 129-96, and Utah won in Denver 109-105. As always, there is afternoon action on MLK Day. The Knicks and Magic tipping off at noon Eastern. The Spurs and Blazers play at noon Pacific. College football, Michigan hiring Ravens linebackers coach Mike McDonald as defensive coordinator. Kevin Na won the PGA Tour's Sony Open in Hawaii. The Florida Panthers a 5-2 win over Chicago. And there are now 72 tennis players quarantining for 2 weeks in Melbourne.
Whoa.
The Australian Open chartered multiple flights to get players, coaches, officials, and media down under safely. But now there have been 5 COVID positives from 3 of those charter flights. Okay. None of them are players, though, so they're all right now healthy. But again, quarantining for 2 weeks, which was the point as well here. So there's a window to get this done, but this is not going as smoothly as they wanted it to by making all of these plans.
Imagine getting COVID by not flying commercial, by flying charter and getting it.
Yikes.
On the COVID-free plane, everyone got COVID.
Whew. By the way, just a little anecdote on, or a little supplemental information on Travis Kelce. He has made the Pro Bowl the last 6 seasons in a row. He was a member of the all-decade team of the 2010s for the NFL. He has had 5 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, and this year went over 1,400 yards, which receiving for a tight end, and remember, nobody played in Week 17, basically, for the Chiefs.
Oh.
Incredible. And, of course, has won championship already and will be playing in his 3rd consecutive AFC championship game. And he's like a bowling ball. He catches that pass and just zooms straight ahead. Great hands, great blocker. Big size, big speed, touchdown. For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot is always in your corner. Now with their mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. The Home Depot mobile app, downloaded today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, how doers get more done. When we come back, we've got your poll question. Are you tired of seeing Tom Brady in a championship game, or is it still excite you? Plus your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. We go inside Big Culture. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We asked you today, are you sick of seeing Tom Brady in the championship game? He went to 13 of them in New England. This is his first, obviously, in Tampa, but that means he's been to 14, 7 at home, 7 on the road. This will make the 7th on the road. 52% said, no, I'm not sick of it. It's still very exciting to see Tom Brady play in a championship game. 48% said, yes, I'm bored with him. So about 50-50, just slightly more people that enjoy seeing Brady there. Brady became the oldest player ever yesterday to score a touchdown in a playoff game. Jerry Rice had had the previous record of 40, of the age of 40, back in the 02 postseason. That was when he was part of the Raiders that went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Buccaneers. But Brady had thrown for touchdowns last week, but not actually scored when he scrambled and had the quarterback sneak for the, really not a scramble, quarterback sneak for a touchdown. Brady now has 32 career playoff wins. That is double the next closest quarterback. Joe Montana had 16. Brady has 32. Well, we'll see. If Brady upsets the Packers and Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau on Sunday, that means we have 3 more weeks of Brady discussion. Oy, oy, oy. Now, earlier in the morning, we were talking about how James Harden got traded and appeared as though he had perhaps donned a fat suit. That under his Houston Rockets garb, he looked very chunky, very chubby. And then as soon as he was traded to the Nets, he was immediately skinny. Mraz made the case that this was about big culture and that James Harden was defacing big culture. And we asked him what exactly that was. Was that like a Comic-Con for the Tom Hanks film? Big culture. He said, no, that's what people call a group of weighty chubbos.
Fat.
Frankie Turtles tweeted. Our listeners. I don't want to go into work, DA. I want to hear more about this big culture. Fantasy football Rob tweets. You know what, Mraz? Has a point. Fat guys don't like fat jokes from skinny guys, but can and will tell them about themselves. That's big culture. Rob the 321, what is big culture? Big culture refers to that culture which is most visible. Some visible forms of culture include holidays, art, popular culture, literature, and food. When learning about a new culture, the big C, cultural elements, would be discovered first. And I suppose that's some type of definition from like Urban Dictionary or something. But apparently a lot of people wanted more info on this big culture. And so here was Mraz earlier this morning. It is your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
But why didn't he wear it with the Nets is my question. If it worked so well and you're wearing it all these years, why didn't he wear it? He didn't wear it because he didn't need it, and he knew by wearing it tucked in warm-ups, people are going to think he's fat. There would be questions about it being out of shape.
I'll be hungry and focused and ready for it.
I mean, it's a guy who did everything he could over the last 2 months to get out of Houston. You're telling me adding maybe a little extra to his body armor to make himself look like he didn't care and he really was out of shape? Is it plausible?
So you really think... You think under his jersey, he was wearing a makeshift fat suit.
Oh, I'm so full of my belly. I pigged out. I do. I think he took a run at big culture.
Big. That's not a phrase. Stop using that as a
just
thing.
Just because you're not a part of big culture doesn't mean it's not a phrase.
Big culture.
Big culture means...
Big culture.
Yes. It's a more polite way to say you're overweight. There are overweight people ever.
I did have my Admiral's feet.
James Harden faked being one of us to get fired. That's basically what he did. And that's... I'm sorry, guys. Like that, to people like me who struggle with weight loss, that is not a nice thing to do. It's pathetic.
Big culture. Sounds like a one-hit wonder from 1987.
Sweetness, saltiness, buttery, bready.
Coming up next, it's I'll Always Love You by Big Culture.
Just because you're not a part of big culture. Point is, James Harden, one of
them
is one of
us. Big culture's not a thing. Don't keep saying that.
Maybe I don't want to say fat culture. I don't want to say fat culture because that's more offensive. He faked being one of us.
Big culture Mraz.
Yeah, like Bryant Big Country Reeves.
Yep.
Crunching and munching.
If you love Bryant Big Country Reeves, we've got James Big Culture Harden.
Hefty.
Big culture.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
So if I go to a big and tall store.
You can't. You're not in the culture. They won't
right,
let you in.
Exactly.
Well, cultures aren't usually membership things. Like you get to just kind of choose, right? If you're around the culture, like you don't choose to be part of pop culture or choose to be part of, in this case, big culture.
I would say fat chose me, D.A. I didn't choose fat.
Oh, now you're Bane. Now you're the Bane of overweight guys.
I'm so damn fat.
Fat didn't choose me from the guy who sneaks lunches behind his wife's back.
I didn't choose fat. I was born in the fat. I was raised in the fat.
I was raised in the fat.
The fat chose me. I'm comfortable in the fat.
I was born in the dark, raised in it, gravitated in it.
I gravitated to the fat.
Hey.
Big culture. Big culture.
By the way, I haven't found a fat suit priced at $86.69 yet.
The best part is that Mraz very, like, just practically just referenced big culture. Like, we all had heard of that phrase before. And then just kept using it like that.
When you're fat, the butt is the last to get fat. And when you're not, the butt is the first to get plump.
That's in the Bill of Rights of big culture.
Number one.
You know, it's like just creating a word and just acting like it's a word. Like, I can't believe Drew Brees threw three whoobity-doos yesterday. Like, what the hell? How can you win a game with three whoobity-doos? You know, like I just do it for CBS Sports Minutes and stuff. You end your career with three whoobity-doos, you know you're going to go home early. That's a real underachievement.
I think now you know how you have to I'm do DA. Your minute today.
I'm DA. I was like, what is that guy talking about?
It's like Mean Girl. Stop making fetch happen. Stop making big culture happen. It's not going to work.
Everybody from the skinny perch taking shots.
By the way, this is kind of interesting. Last night on overnight, or after hours rather, on the overnight show with Amy Lawrence, the play-by-play guy of the Saints said that Drew Brees and Sean Payton only winning one Super Bowl together is an underachievement. Now, this is the voice of the Saints. So tomorrow on the show, I really want to debate this because this is what is staring Aaron Rodgers in the face as well, this one Super Bowl thing. Is it fair just to look at a Hall of Famer and say, hey, he got the win? Because Mraz made that point earlier in the morning. You know what? His resume is good enough. He got a Super Bowl championship. You'll always remember that moment. Or if you're together with a head coach and have this many good teams, as we were kind of talking about, four consecutive brutal playoff losses to end his career, is that an underachievement? One championship for Drew Brees, and that's it. With the same head coach for 15 years, was that enough? We'll discuss tomorrow morning on the show. I think that's interesting. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow's Trash Tuesday, so be here for that. Be good and be good to one another on this MLK Day. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.